Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information about the news and links we talk about on the show, go to our website at www.geeksone.com.
Hello!
Hello, my geeklings!
What's going on?
Hey, kids. Geeks. Did you have a good week?
Yeah.
Did you have a good geek week?
I can't even see. I've been on strong medicine, the set of strong medicine, for the last 3 days.
Your eyes are slightly glazed.
15-hour days, so I'm like... Yeah.
It's going to be a good episode, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, if anybody wants to see it, it's me stuck in the ER with the other two doctors, and there's a bomb about to go off, so...
My geek week was off and on. My Xbox, of course, was... fritzing out again. So I was in the middle of Brothers in Arms, which is a great game in this really tough spot, and that just cut out on me.
Shame.
Do you want to borrow my Xbox?
Shame come to Xbox.
I'm thinking there's some PlayStation. Well, I just got SSX On Tour, which is a great freaking game.
Which I'm afraid I'm actually going to have to club you and take it from you after this podcast.
I forgot how good SSX is.
It's such a good game.
You know, the problem I have with it, and this is the problem I had with the last one, is the personal characters that they brought into Tricky, they did so well with Tricky, is slowly being taken out of the game. Elise and Kaori and all those cool, fun characters just really...
What are they replacing it with?
Just kind of with like a non...
So
it's like a board game. Like, but in this one, you create your own character, and that's kind of really
right. But from what I saw about it, it was kind of a lame character creation.
It was lame character creation.
Okay. Oh,
I
loved like the animations. I loved like when you got the gold medal, you used to get the like the break dancing cutscene.
Yeah,
no. I loved that.
Yeah, I don't know why they decided to get to move away from that type of. That type of kind of character of the game.
I blame laziness.
No, yes. I think they made... Someone made a decision that they felt that that wasn't... I mean, they're going through these big themes. Like, right now they're in this kind of rock star theme.
Yeah.
Where you're trying to become
a
rock
punk.
Star.
It looked very punk to
Well,
me.
It's more like rock more okay. than punk. I wish it was more punk. And that's another problem I have with the game, is that I don't like the music in it.
Hmm.
And the other ones, I could kind of dig some of the music. And here, I haven't heard one single song that I like at all.
Can't you put your own songs on there?
No.
Oh really?
No.
It's the Xbox. You can play.
No,
it's
a PlayStation.
Oh, it's PlayStation.
Remember, his Xbox is Vakata.
But I've never bought an SSX on my Xbox because the controls are made for the PlayStation 2,
right.
And this game is so entirely dependent. On those four
buttons,
trigger buttons at the top,
it's
the shoulder buttons, that even if it looks better on the Xbox, I've never bought it for it because of that.
I play it on the Xbox, and I found it took a little while, but I was eventually able to make that adjustment.
Right.
But I'm still not happy about having to make that adjustment. You know?
Which is the good thing about the next Xbox 2 controller, mm-hmm. is they've got... They move the black and white buttons. They're now shoulder buttons. So you have
good.
The triggers, two shoulder buttons. So essentially you have a PlayStation 2 controller is what you've got.
Okay.
So
I was crushed this week. I had the opportunity to buy a full Xbox 360 system.
What?
All the bells, all the whistles, all the great stuff.
Whoa.
$400. Like custom faceplate, 12-month subscription for $400.
Okay.
And I couldn't pull the money together. I just couldn't do it.
Oh, Don.
I couldn't do it. So
can you still have the option?
No.
Everybody send Don a dollar.
Yeah. crushed me, man. I've been working ridiculous hours forever, and I'm trying to figure out where all these debts came from.
Well, the game, it sells for $400, so you're saying that it comes with controller?
It was a wireless controller, the hard drive, 12-month online subscription, custom faceplate. You know, everything you could possibly buy with the first wave of stuff.
Okay, wait a minute.
I think that's what you can buy at the stores.
That's the $500 package.
It's $400.
No, I think the 400 package is the core system package.
Nope, that's 300.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder what the hell they were giving me.
Maybe you're lucky.
Maybe.
Maybe you dodged a bullet.
It's possible.
Now, wait.
Yeah, but I've heard of tricking out your car, but tricking out your Xbox, like custom faceplate?
Oh, that's the next gen.
It's going to be all over the place.
That's how they're selling this next, this whole system.
And I've seen the standard faceplate. It's homely.
Yeah.
It's a little gray thing.
I'm putting nipples online.
I like it. I'm not gonna put. I'm gonna put the wood, fake faux wood.
Boy nipples or girl nipples?
Does it really matter if it's just a nipple?
It matters a little bit. They're different.
Okay, girl nipples. Okay.
I don't know, Peter. If we lined up seven nipples for you and you didn't see who they were attached to, would you be able to identify them?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
To do the seven nipple challenge, Peter.
I'm down.
Don, if you can line up seven nipples, I'm down for that challenge.
I'm curious. I am going to do my best.
I want at least half to be female, though.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, what is Sam Raimi made? What was his first movie? That was Evil Dead, right?
That's the first big one that I know of, okay. But I'm sure there was something before that.
So I'm playing the game Evil Dead 2.
Yeah, wasn't that made ages ago?
No, the original one was. Now they've got a second one out.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Just so you guys know, it's not a great gameplay. It's not like it's an amazing gameplay. You don't play it for that.
Right.
You play it because of all the, like, just like in the movie, all the effed up things that happen, like, you know, someone getting sucked into a toilet and blood spurting all over you.
Right.
Or you play it for the...
Specifically for Bruce Campbell saying non-sequiturs.
Bruce Campbell, yeah, saying stuff. Like when you're in the bathroom, you know, looking in the stalls to see if there's anything hidden there, he's like, man, I got to stop stalling. You know, it's that type of stupid stuff.
Right.
You know?
Oh.
Yeah, Bruce Campbell was born for video games, man. Every video game he did a voiceover for was fun.
It's very fun.
True. I played...
Even if the game sucks, it's fun. You'll play it just to hear him.
Anybody play the new Spider-Man?
The one that is all cel-shaded and everything. I played it at Best Buy when I was buying Cat
a Present.
I heard
it was awesome.
It's one of the most stunningly beautiful games.
It's amazing.
But it's like Spider-Man 2, right?
It's so it's easy like to control.
Game. It's not.
Oh, I heard it was the same game, but different look.
You can go high to low as well, but it's not... I don't think they created the whole
city. There are similarities. It's a Spider-Man game. There's only so much variation you can really do with a gameplay.
You're going to be doing swinging and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously. Yeah.
But fighting, like, Rhino, stuff like that, was so much fun.
The look of the game is so beautiful. I mean, the problem is I've seen it for the past 8 months. I have no desire to touch it, but it's so beautiful.
I just put money down in Call of Duty 2.
Uh-huh.
Xbox 360. Uh-huh. And I'm hoping that it comes out launch day, because right now they keep launch day titles keep dropping off. There's going to be nothing.
I'm fairly certain it will be out on launch
day.
That's
because nobody wants to be out on that day. They're terrified.
I got a question.
No, that's because they're all missing their dates. The game's already being made. Hmm. Like Ghost Recon, the new Ghost Recon, which looks freaking unbelievable.
But would you want to be the first guy out of the box on the 360?
I think they do,
because
competition.
Sales, just the sales alone.
I don't know. I think there's also a lot of pressure involved.
So. No, here's the hot new system that everyone and their grandmother wants.
And there's no other game to buy
for.
And
you have no competition.
So I'm going to buy a racing game, whether it's good or not, because I want to be able to race on my new system that looks cool, and if it sucks, I'm just going to have to eat it.
And do you remember any of the release date games for PlayStation 2?
Yeah, FantaVision, which was the remember that piece of
shit? I do.
It was a...
was that because
it was like
all
a
the
fireworks
game,
simulation game. That was like a launch game for PlayStation 2.
Kick ass.
Although, you know what? One of the best games still on the PlayStation was SSX was released.
To this day, I have SSX Tricky.
Yeah.
And usually I'm that guy when video game number 3 comes out, 1 and 2 are out the door.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? SSX Tricky I am holding on to until the day I have no way to play this thing ever again. It's scratched up, my controllers are knotted, and I am dead. It's the only way you're going to get this game away from me.
Don's 90
it's
years old.
It's a good game.
Hey! Oh, look, I'm playing Elise. Watch her do a double backflip. I've gotten her all the way tricked out.
All right. So you beat that to with a dead or to
is it dead? Did I kill the horse?
Dead. Do we have any?
I got a question.
Yeah.
What are the price points on these games when they come out? Are they also $50? Are they going to be more expensive?
I'm pretty sure all of them are $50.
Yeah, I think okay. They're. Although I hear EA might be bumping their.
Screw you, EA.
I don't know.
And the horse you rode in on that I killed.
All right.
Let's do some news.
Geek
news.
The evil empire.
Empire?
Well, it's the only way to make it work.
Go, Peter?
Okay. Do we have Bear's news theme yet?
We haven't talked to him about
it. It's going to take him a little while to do it.
Oh, him and his composing.
Do we get to sing?
Maybe.
Do we get to be Celtic women?
You need to talk to him a little more.
News. Yeah, because people want to hear that crap.
It's the news. Oh my god, it's early.
All right.
We should sing it to like popular geeky tunes.
Okay.
Geek news, geek news, geek news, geek news.
What song is this, Aaron?
Geek
A-team.
News.
What's wrong with you?
Well, it was Aaron. No,
geek,
I want to
geek,
do
news,
monk
news.
Chanting, you know, like the...
Geeky news.
All right, that's done. Okay, let's do some news.
Time, geeky news, geeky news.
We've lived. One-fifth. This is my way of stopping. This is my way of cutting it short.
Half the listenership is now just going, all right, fast forward.
And Peter's attempting to turn stupidity. Roll your dice, Peter.
Oh, shit.
Geeky news.
One-fifth of human genes have been patented, a study reveals.
What?
I hate this. Yeah. I hate
what?
These type of stories.
20% of human genes have been patented in the United States.
Fuck them. I had those genes before they patented
yeah,
them.
Yeah, totally.
And
my genes. Screw you.
The study reveals that more than 4,000 genes, or 20% of the 24,000 human genes, have been claimed in U.S. patents. 63% are assigned to private firms. 28% are assigned to universities. 28%. The issue here, as someone said, critics are cautioning. They said, you can find dozens of ways to heat a room besides the Franklin stove, but there's only one gene to make the human growth hormone.
Yeah.
So there's some problems with this whole idea of patenting genes.
Again, this is what happens when a U.S. government or a government period has zero understanding of a product or a system that they're regulating. Zero. Absolutely.
I'll bet you I could
zero
prove that I had access to those genomes before they ever patented it.
You know what? I think they actually have a pretty damn good idea of what they're doing.
The government, who's the patent office, knows anything about genetics?
No, wait.
They may not know anything about genetics, but they may look at this and go, hey, we can make some cashola. You know, maybe
the patent
even,
office isn't making shit.
No, not necessarily.
No, but if it's an American company patenting
yes.
it.
Oh, I know the companies are making money.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the U.S., the governments who are
allowing
patents.
Yes,
this is like the people who are like, you know what? We need to regulate the internet. Try that, idiot. Spend our tax dollars and regulate something that you have so little understanding that you would even come out and say something about, like, regulating the internet, you moron.
You know... Which they may actually understand what they're doing, but just be it's like when they pass laws that are bad laws, but they're doing it to support big business because that's
yeah
money.
Maybe
could be that, but
yeah, maybe it's a payoff.
I mean, I totally think it's a payoff.
But let me actually use what
makes
you just
me
said
more angry
to segue. You guys know about the EU internet battle with the U.S.
Yes.
Yeah, effectively.
The EU is basically saying, you know...
this is what we brought up last week.
Right.
Last week, yeah.
Right.
So the EU is basically saying that, you know, the U.S. controls patents.
Right. And they control the internet.
And the internet. And they're warning that if a deal cannot be reached in a meeting in Tunisia next month, the internet might split apart into separate types of things.
Yeah,
right.
Won't happen.
I don't believe that would happen, but I find it really interesting that this is going
Here's
on.
Here's the problem. My wife brought this up. I guess they brought this up on NPR. Is most of the countries who want control of this internet system are dictatorships and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they want, like China, and these guys want more control over the internet.
Yeah.
China is having a serious problem right now with their people finding out news from alternative sources.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, people here are like, Sure. Do you think we're going to actually give these guys more power to control our...
They're not the only ones.
Because they're controlling... I'm just saying that people like them. There's a lot of countries who want control restrictions. And that's the reason why, is they don't like the fact that their citizens can go and find out any type of information they want.
Why do you think a lot of the United States government officials are pushing for the same stuff?
Oh,
they may understand that this is impossible, but they don't like the fact that information is getting out.
Yeah. Information is power.
Downing Street memos. I repeat, Downing Street memos. Go look it up.
It didn't do a damn thing.
Wait a second. Yeah. What? Because everybody went, what? When the Downing Street memos came out. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, who cares? Downing Street memo? Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, whatever. Now, I'm curious. There's no way. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Damn your totalitarian regimes. Yeah, you can't have any.
We're going to start our own internet. Okay, do that.
Yeah,
it's
fun.
Too late. You should
have
done that.
We have 22 sites. Screw you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to start my own my own word processing program and fight Microsoft.
Right. I mean, you know, China can do that. In fact, they probably do. I mean, essentially, AOL has their own network. And they did for CompuServe, AOL, they were all their own networks. They, you know, they just couldn't expand as fast as the open market, the open source of the internet. And so, but for a while, if you wanted like good content, good information, you'd sign up for CompuServe or AOL.
Yeah, and you had to go through their portal.
China can do that. They can start up their own, you know, network system if they want to and put government whatever, but it's not going to be the internet. It's not going to be.
It's hard to compete against the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And there are enough techno geeks over there, big-time techno geeks, who can just get the information without it and disseminate. I mean, look at the DVD industry of, you know, pirating DVD. You know, that's a huge black market industry, and it's not like they're not going to go and say, hey, let's black market Internet Explorer or whatever it is that's easy to get you onto the internet.
Right. All right, Matt.
Anywho, I think actually the fact that this news story came out is more of the news story than the news story itself. Now that I've been strange like that, the Wall Street Journal basically came out with a huge thing on podcasts and basically called it "Is anybody out there?" It was on the front page of the Wall Street Journal.
Really?
And it was all about how Clear Channel now is making an effort to get control of podcasts.
How?
F you.
Yeah. Bruised by earlier failures to embrace new technology, big media companies are rushing into the two-year-old field of podcasting to grab young listeners, even at the risk of cannibalizing existing audiences or wasting time and money on a technology that may never go mainstream. So there are tons of them that they're really, really trying to gobble up podcasts as quickly as they can.
We'd sell out.
But they're trying to gobble up podcasts.
Well, no. What we would do, we would sell Geeks On for an incredible amount of money.
Yeah.
Then we'd go start our own podcast.
On.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nerds on.
Nerds on.
And transfer our audience over. Yeah. And
just keep on moving that way. All right.
We'll sell our name.
That sounds good.
We're whores.
Clear Channel can go fuck themselves because I couldn't say fuck on a Clear Channel network.
They just beep you out, right?
No, they'd probably find me.
Yeah, they'd probably definitely.
They think you are a Dixie chick? That's not right.
Hey, Maddie, what is exactly that they're doing to gobble up the podcast? They're paying people for their podcast? What are they doing?
They're paying for podcasts. They're basically taking their format, which already exists, like, let's say, AM Radio 1010 Wins in New York City, and they're converting that to a podcast.
Yeah, that I see all the time.
Yeah, they're taking NPR content. They're taking all of the content that they have. So I think they have at least 50 of their shows are now in podcast format.
Good.
I know what's going on. But there's a couple stations, and there's several. I think there's one that first started up in San Francisco that are taking podcasts off the internet and airing them.
Yes.
They're doing
straight
that
out as well. Mm-hmm. But Clear Channel, one of its stipulations for doing that for your podcast is they put a blitz advertisement on the front end of the podcast that basically is short enough that people can't fast forward through it. Without, I guess, missing content. You know, you miss the first sentence.
Oh, when they're going to a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we've been asked already for, people have contacted us about
the radio
advertising. Actually, there's another person.
Too?
Yeah, advertising. I don't think we should. Not because, you know, I'm not willing to sell out. I mean, this is a hobby. Anything that can help us out, just kind of give us a little bit of cash. But I just don't think it's the right time, and I don't want to turn this really particularly into a business right now. So, You know, we're having fun.
The thing about the article was more that it was really bringing podcasts to sort of Wall Street's attention and saying, hey, look at this. This is a multi-million dollar venture. People are paying attention to it. There is money to be made. Hey, looky, looky, looky. So we'll see whether or not they actually
pay attention. Do you guys want to try maybe want to do a video podcast, like a little short video thing? I'm not talking about a weekly one. I'm just talking about take Geeks On, do like some spoof video or something.
Well, just as alternate news as well, we have the new iPod, which with the new visual technology.
Right? Yeah, right. Exactly.
Which is being used for
Aaron,
porn.
You were right. Which is being used for porn immediately.
That's right. My rumor beat out your rumor,
your
Peter.
Your rumor killed my rumor. Although my rumor nice. Was correct about the fact that they were having trouble getting a lot of the people to sign on. They got Lost and Desperate Housewives from
Disney.
Yeah,
so they got 5 shows, yeah. And they're only on ABC.
But they're doing the right thing, it's and they're airing shows. You can download them for $1.99.
That's great. That's freaking awesome.
Yeah. That's the smartest thing.
Now,
I've heard.
Did you hear that the unions were striking this week because of that?
Which ones? SAG?
I think SAG's preparing, but there's no compensation for anybody for these. And so now the actors, the writers, the directors are up in arms because they weren't told that this was going to happen. And so they are pissed.
Wow.
Now, to me,
it's a big pie. Can you throw a little bit around?
The unions are behind the times. Hello, people have been talking about...
The unions have been behind the times perpetually.
Well, if they don't like it, they need to start working ahead of the game. We've been talking about putting content on cell phones and PDAs for about 5 to 6 years right now. There's no reason why this deal shouldn't have been worked into the last one when they talk about mobile devices.
Yep.
Now mobile devices out. Hey, guess what? We've been talking about it for 5 freaking years. Mm-hmm. Don't yell about it and strike after the fact. How many times do you have to read the Hollywood Reporter week after week after week when they talk about mobile devices and cell phones and content?
Because they're behind the time on content.
Well, guess what? We can't, the television industry can't wait around for that.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're planning on making money off of them.
One of the things that irritated the crap out of me was, I don't know where I was going with that sentence for a second. Basically, the Screen Actors Guild had a huge advance notice on reality shows and did nothing about it forever. I mean, they were, coming. And then everybody went, oh, they're just like game shows. And they're not. You're basically giving your audience free rein to get, a whole bunch of stars for cheap.
Right.
We're going to pay these people $1 million at the end of everything if you win. One person.
Right.
That's abominably cheap. What I was thinking is, why didn't Screen Actors Guild negotiate ages ago to get these people paid scale? If you end up on the show as a reality actor, you end up getting paid scale.
Right.
Because then there wouldn't be any problems. It's getting crazy.
Then they yell after the fact saying that, they're getting screwed.
They're getting screwed. Exactly.
I don't know.
And they're going to strike because of this.
Yeah.
They're prepared because they said that it was deceptive that they didn't know what was happening, even though we've been talking about for.
I get it, though, because if you are in a formal contract with someone and they intend to distribute your work, mm-hmm. I would expect that they would be under obligation to inform you of what ways it would be distributed. Contract I've ever signed has that provision in it.
Right.
So if they did not inform any of these other unions, yes, they are at fault. Because all these things could be rumors that are being
reported. I'm surprised that this doesn't fall under some type of category. I'm shocked.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know the details. So.
But I know that DVD sales that are out now with shows that before the technology existed,
mm-hmm.
people aren't getting paid for it.
Yes.
Yep.
So new technology.
Still not getting paid for it, really.
So, yes, make sure that you make Matt and Don and whoever writers, make sure you make the holographic distribution deal now.
Yeah.
No,
because in 20 years that's going to happen and you're going to
just a proviso that you make a certain amount off of any new media that it's released on.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a catch-all phrase.
I mean, hello.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
All right.
Danya?
I have a short and slightly less controversial subject.
Why do I always bring up the controversial subject? I brought up the intelligent design thing, and now it's...
Which won't die.
It won't die.
I'm going to go kill it. I'm just going to erase the whole topic.
It won't die.
Topic.
I mean...
All right. My topic is poo in space. That's right.
Well, the ongoing story of a bear. I don't know.
No.
Not Winnie the Pooh?
Not a bear.
No?
No.
Like poo?
I'm talking poo.
Poo-poo?
Yeah. I'm actually talking excrement. I am talking flatulence in outer space.
Why?
I have a lovely article here discussing how the Chinese have come up with an ingenious new way of fighting flatulence in space.
Is it an issue?
Which has been a perpetual problem, apparently.
Probably because there's like a...
Oh, because your stomach acids don't settle.
It's an enclosed space, so the air is not being freshened, and it is highly flammable. So it, should it build up over time, there's a significant danger of ignition.
Never showed that on Apollo 13.
More importantly, something they discuss in the news article that we're putting up is something that never occurred to me. But if you fart in a zero-G environment, you move. Never occurred to me. So
I would think that you would have to pass a lot of gas in order to move. Mass.
Have you eaten with Matt?
Nice. Nice, Don.
Matt's
nice.
Got a built-in
He's in
FTL
full
drive.
He can lift himself off at least 6 inches.
Yeah. And what does FTL stand for?
Yeah. Nice.
So anyway, apparently their fix is a variation on the American space toilet, right? Which apparently is a vacuum.
Right, yeah. No,
that you just stick up.
Yeah.
Right?
It's basically a big, huge vacuum sucker, and it's actually against the wall, and you would stick your butt up.
How about some air scrubbers and just circulate that shit?
Glade.
Space Glade. First in space.
Space
Glade. The little plug-in Glade.
Yeah, exactly.
Not working. Let's put
another one
in.
But it sucks out the fart and sticks it in a little special area just for fart juice, you know?
Yeah,
but
fart containers?
Does that mean you have to run over to the thing every time you fart? Or would you have like a little hose hooked to your ass?
I don't know.
Colonel Robinson, we're ready for you now. Please bend over.
Exactly. Cut the umbilical. Yeah.
I have a... actually, this... probably everybody knows about it, but I want to know what you think. The new James Bond.
Yeah. I thought it was Clive Owen. And it's not Clive Owen. I'm disappointed.
Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea who this man is.
You remember the son in Road to Perdition? The crazy...
Did not see it.
Okay.
Well, this guy, he was in... what was it? Gwyneth Paltrow piece of crap.
He was in.
Huh? No, it was no. Plath. The Sylvia Plath movie that just came out.
Did not see it.
Yeah. Well, nobody did. He's got a great look. He's got a very rugged look.
He's blonde.
Is he blonde?
James Bond is not blonde.
Yeah, it's different, but he's got a very rugged look.
You can change blonde. That's easy.
Blonde. James Bond.
If they do, I'll be willing to see it, but I don't want to see a blonde James Bond.
That's the problem you have, is that he's blonde?
Yes, I'm perfectly fine with him hiring a no-name. I'm perfectly fine with that. Please hire a no-name.
Clive Owen.
He's not particularly a no-name.
If he can act and he's... Well, I've never heard of him.
I agree.
Most of the people I've talked to...
He's not a pretty boy. He's more rugged. He's kind of like...
Yeah, but Clive Owen
was
that.
He's more like...
You're saying Clive Owen? I'm hearing Owen Wilson.
No.
I'm picturing Owen Wilson as James Bond, and it's just not sitting well with me.
Yeah, James Bond.
Now, part of what your story, though, is that the reason that they didn't stick with... what's his name?
Clive Owen?
No, the guy they were using.
Bronson.
Was because Bronson he was asking for $40 million for the next film.
He wanted out of his contract.
That was not price to sell. No. He wanted out.
He was asking for $40 million plus a piece of the action. And actually, he is still saying that he's publicly that he's still available. I think what happened was he over-negotiated.
No, he wanted the fuck out. He's a little long in the tooth now. Yeah, you don't ask for $40 million unless you want the fuck out.
Well, all I'm saying is he's still publicly saying on radio shows that he is still interested and available.
Yeah, well, that's just he's playing the game.
I find it interesting that they're doing Casino Royale.
Yeah, that seems really
great.
Weird to me.
Did you ever hear Quentin Tarantino's comment on that? Quentin Tarantino, when they asked him what his dream film was, he said, "I want to do a Bond film."
Ugh.
And they said, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah, I want to set it in the Cold War still, do Casino Royale, and do Bond like he really was." He was like, "It's not gadgets, it's the man. It's the man who's the roughneck, who comes in, you know, he actually ends up in this relationship with a woman, and at the end of the, you know, book has to kill her."
Check out, I just got this. This is an old paperback book.
Of Casino Royale. Have you read it before?
95 cents, yeah.
It's great. Last line.
It's very weird.
Read the last line of the book.
Was it The Bitch Is Dead?
The Bitch Is Dead.
This is a different James Bond than any of the other stories. He is a very different guy, and I'm wondering if they're going to do that in the movie, because he falls in love in this, and it's almost like the birth of James Bond.
Yeah.
He changes at the end of this. He becomes kind of the James Bond we all know and love in a way.
But he's less gadgety. He's much more like...
Yeah, he's scrappy.
Torn up, scrappy. Yeah.
And he gets his ass kicked in here.
Yeah, have you seen the movie Casino Royale?
Yeah, wasn't the Woody Allen one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different. It's not the same story at all.
Okay. No. Just checking.
Okay.
Yeah, Woody Allen...
as Bond.
Woody Allen as the bad guy. It was Peter Sellers as Bond.
I would love to see Woody Allen as Bond.
Yeah.
Almost as much as I'd love to see Bronson Pinchot as Bond.
Yes.
These gadgets, they're everywhere. I mean, I don't really know, but, you know. Look, it's a lampshade.
Maybe the worst Woody Allen I've ever heard in my life.
Sorry, it's too close to my Christopher Walken. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Christopher Walken and Woody Allen should not mix.
Yeah.
It's just, no.
Sorry.
No.
Okay, Peter.
So we talk a lot of times about the dangers of global warming.
Mm-hmm.
Very seldomly do we talk about the potential advantages of global warming. And I don't mean that this is a good thing. I'm just talking about that there are actually people who are able to capitalize on the fact that there's global warming.
Right.
You know, the fact that we're having ice melting up north means that certain areas are becoming more valuable.
Right.
It's easier to get to places where there's oil. And there's a guy who basically – it's really interesting – there's this guy named Mr. Bro who bought a derelict Hudson Bay port from the Canadian government in 1997 for $7.
And now it's like a summer resort?
Well, now it's going to be potentially worth millions of dollars because the shipping lanes are going to be really opening up in the northern part of the world because there's going to be so much less ice.
How do you find something, anything, anywhere that you can buy for $7?
Yeah,
who do I have to blow to buy an abandoned oil derelict for
$7? You could find a blowjob for $7.
Ugh. I would not
want to
see
my neighborhood, apparently.
I wouldn't want to see that one.
I'm not telling you to watch a blowjob for $7.
So wait, how many thousands of years does he think he'll be able to cash in on this?
I don't know. I mean, this year they found that the ice cap had faded to the smallest size ever recorded.
Yeah. What are our natural disasters this year?
Yeah.
Huge tsunami, hurricane twice. What else? There was monster earthquakes.
Yeah.
Somebody's pissed off right now.
I mean, come on. Hello.
Those aren't like... That's not related to global warming.
I also don't think this
is
new.
I think it's all interrelated.
We just have news coverage of it now.
Well, hang on.
Yeah, that's true.
It is true that they say that if you have a higher temperature, they expect to have more hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, earthquakes, though?
That is related. Now, I'm curious, because we're talking about this. Is there a reason that if you had a warmer Earth that you might have more earthquakes? I mean...
Mm-hmm.
Well, sure.
You know, there's, well, look,
we're
talking...
If the globe itself is warmer, right? And there's more water, right?
Right.
So, first off, the warmer atmosphere is going to create a very minute but noticeable change in the size of everything on the planet.
Right.
Right. The increased amount of water is going to create differences in pressure across two-thirds of the globe.
I'd like to see some documentation on your research, sir.
No, but
I think it's an interesting idea.
It's an interesting concept.
Have we started the technobabble thing yet?
No. Don's just riffing. Don's riffing.
Don's making shit up. He's got like a computer with charts and shit over here.
Where'd you get the pie graph?
Yeah,
I like that, don't you? Though I have to admit, on one level, it does sound kind of like a Lex Luthor plan from Superman 1.
Yeah.
We're going to melt the polar ice caps in order to make new primo beachfront property in areas that used to be
completely
derelict. Yeah,
that was the...
Otisville?
Yes, Otisville.
Otisville?
Well, you have all of California. Just thought.
Miss Tessmacher has something. By the way...
Otisville?
Okay, I'm not going to segue.
Yeah, he wasn't melting the polar ice caps. He was dropping
California
into the sea.
I was just going to bring up if anybody had seen Smallville recently, the new season.
No, how is it?
I think it's good. They've gotten back on track.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't watched it since season 2.
Fortress of Solitude, right?
Fortress of Solitude now.
I watched.
How is that playing?
It looked exactly like the one in Superman.
Yeah, they're kind of they're more and more connecting the dots to the movie. You almost feel like when the show ends that you'll be able to go and rent the movie.
Is his dad still alive?
His dad. You mean
Clark's dad?
Oh, Clark's dad?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But recently, we think we've seen maybe one of the reasons why he might die.
Well, we already know why he might die. You remember that?
They've added another.
Oh, they added another one?
Thing.
Okay. I got the season 4 coming to me on DVD.
We'll talk about that. We'll have a whole episode of Superman.
You gotta have a Superman episode.
Oh yeah.
All right. So the remains of the world's oldest noodles have been found in China.
I saw that.
Really cool.
That was cool.
I could have sworn
4,000-year-old noodles.
4,000-year-old noodles. 57 meters long.
I could have sworn it was in the 7-Eleven right around the corner.
No,
because those things look old.
Yeah, they look
really noodles and noodles. Just a regular old Chinese dish, though. 4,000-year-old noodles.
4,000. Yeah. No, that's 1,000-year-old egg.
Oh, my bad.
Right. 50 centimeter long yellow strands were found in a pot that had probably been buried during a catastrophic flood. So based on geological and archaeological evidence, there was a catastrophic earthquake, and immediately following the quake, the site was subject to a flooding by a river. They found all these people in various states of disrepair. They were running away from the water. It, you know, basically they said it looked like the Pompeii of China. And they found this overturned urn, and in the bottom of the urn, which had been packed with sediment, they found a hermetically sealed, effectively, container that had noodles. And it answers the question, who had noodles first so far?
But I have a question
before we find more evidence.
How do you know that this flood wasn't, in fact, the Noah's Ark flood?
Yeah, no, absolutely could have been
4,000 years old. Does that fit within the...
Yes. That does fit.
Not enough animal poo, though.
Did they let noodles onto the ark?
I don't know.
Yep.
They had to eat something.
It'd have to be a lot of noodles.
Yeah.
Though, I know how valuable a find this is. I understand that.
Yeah.
Especially since they discovered the noodles were made of a completely different type of grain that
they
is no longer used
anymore.
They were
made out of millet
anymore.
Rather than wheat.
But the thing that really caught me was they're talking about these noodles, and there's a picture of the pot, right? Mm-hmm. And then they have a long shot of the pot where it was found. And there's this pot next to the body of what looks like a woman huddled in horror in the corner of the room covering herself against something.
Absolutely.
And it just was horrible to me that we're focusing on the noodles as opposed to, like, the scene of horror that you see all around it, you know?
I mean, poor woman was like, oh, God, I burned dinner again. And then...
Are these noodles ready?
I should have used more water.
I mean, imagine your last meal.
Oh, God.
I mean, can you imagine? You don't even get to eat it.
Oh.
Anything any one of our geek friends would have been cooking, and then suddenly, like, you're annihilated.
And you're sitting down to have your dinner of ramen, and suddenly... Yes.
We've found 7,000-year-old spam.
Right.
Ugh.
Okay.
You have one more?
Joel Arabized Simpsons aren't getting many laughs.
Uh-huh, damn it.
Omar Shamshoon, as he is now called on the show, looks like the same Homer Simpson, but he has given up beer and bacon, which are both against Islam, and no longer hangs out at seedy bars with bums and lowlives. In Arabia, Homer's beer is soda, and his hot dogs are barbecued Egyptian beef sausages. And the donut-shaped snacks he gobbles are the traditional Arab cookies called kak.
That's not funny.
Pretty much.
Cock.
The family remains, as the producers describe them, dysfunctional. They still live in Springfield, and Omar is still lazy and works at the local nuclear power plant.
So basically, we're just reinforcing their actual views of what Americans are like without him having any...
No, wait. So they're not changing any of the visuals. They're just renaming Donuts Cock.
Well, it sounds like a lot of the kind of the situations are have to be rewritten. The
right.
Scripts are being rewritten, and the article goes on to discuss.
So they just edit out the bar scenes, so it's like a shorter episode.
Okay. Probably yes. let's see. Bart, now called Botter, is constantly cheeky to his parents and teachers and is always in trouble. Providing the characters' voices are several popular Egyptian actors, including Mohamed Hanaidi, considered the Robert De Niro of the Middle East.
Wow, they got some big stars on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But long story short, it seems like a lot of the people who have seen the original Simpsons and are now being treated to the Arabian version are not pleased. To quote one of them, Professor Abu Khalil wrote, "It was just painful. The guy who played Homer Simpson was one of the most unfunny people I've ever watched. Just drop the project and air reruns of Tony Danza's show instead."
No. Oh.
Homie, stop picking.
I wet my bed.
Okay. Alienated yet another ethnic group. I wonder if Apu is played by a white guy.
Nice.
No. That would make sense. Yeah. I mean, that would be funnier.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. Welcome to Quickie Mart.
I'm done with news.
You are?
No more news.
Okay, I got two more.
Peter's got two more.
You got one more?
Well, I have two more, actually.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. All right. Make them quick.
We'll make them quick.
Okay. So, Steven Spielberg is making a deal with EA to make three original video games.
EA, you whore. Sorry, go on.
He just wants to be like LucasArts.
They will not be adaptations of existing movies, the video company
so
said.
I assumed it was going to be Indiana Jones 4.
Yeah. No, these are going to be originals. Oh. They're not going to have any type of thing to do with that. And, of course,
cool.
Wall Street analysts have complained that Electronic Arts has lost some of its creative edge, relying too heavily on sequels of popular sports franchises.
Ha ha.
Really?
How surprising.
So, this might actually
be... I agree.
Be-
I mean, I, that's the reason why I panicked when they were trying to buy out Ubisoft, because I really felt... I feel like Ubisoft and the developers they work with have an edge to them. I feel like they're trudging forward, and EA just polishes stuff they already have. I mean, they do it well. Although, you know, I just said SSX is a great game. That's an EA game, you know?
Well, I think in general, most of the larger developers push for sequels. You know, they all want franchises now, which means most of the ones I can think of have usually a percentage of from 85 to 90% of sequels in pre-production. And usually maybe two or three games.
In America?
You know?
In America, new games. Only 1 in 10 video games are new franchises or new content. Yeah. In Japan, it's 1 in 100. That means 99 out of 100 games coming out are sequels.
Yeah.
That's lame. Mm-hmm. But they love it. I mean, so do we. We love it, too.
Come on, of course they love it.
Well, it kills me because, and also they usually don't back up the original games to an extent that I'm happy with, right? Like the game I just finished working on is a wonderful idea. Mm-hmm. It's a brilliant idea and very marketable. I have seen maybe 2 ads for the damn thing anywhere, you know, and it kills me.
Yeah, but I don't understand. I mean, I don't understand why your company doesn't advertise. Well, they are advertising one game.
Yeah.
That X-Men game.
Yeah. The X-Men Legends 2, they're plugging everywhere.
And
with good reason. It's a good looking game. It's franchise.
I just don't understand why they aren't, they don't plug it like a movie. Right. I mean, like.
Well, who knows?
I don't know.
All right. Finishing up. First day of school this last Monday for Vatican Exorcists.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It was.
Is that a yearly thing or is this new?
New thing. 4-month course called Exorcism and the Prayer of Liberation is being offered for the second year, by the Pontifical Regina Apostolorum University on Rome's outskirts. Hmm. So, they're all showing up. Not all of you will become exorcists, but it is indispensable that every priest knows how to discern between demonic possession and psychological problems.
Well, at least they're talking about it.
Yep.
Picture their cafeteria, though.
Yeah.
Pea soup again. Yeah.
Nice. One priest who asked not to be identified said he decided to take the course after a, quote, very unsettling experience while hearing the confession of one young member of his parish. So, you know, will he be ready to wrestle with demons of the kind who may have possessed his parishioner in the confessional box?
Stay tuned. Okay. I got my last story is about Australian scientists who have achieved a world first by copying Resilin.
Resilin
is the rubber that insects employ to accomplish athletic feats.
Huh.
So, for example,
flubber.
Basically,
I was just
going to
say that.
It is basically flubber.
Wait, they just invented flubber again?
Well, they've taken the insect version.
Oh, okay.
You know, which of course evolution has created.
Flubber.
You know, and they found a way to kind of manufacture.
Sorry, wow.
And one of the things that they said, for example, bees can flap their wings 720,000 times in an hour. And this is the stuff that allows them to do that. Fleas can jump 100 times their height.
It is so flubber.
This is the stuff that allows them to do that.
I need to put it on my car.
They predicted that the substance would lead to everything from artificial arteries to spinal parts that would not wear out despite being flexed 100 million times.
Wait, that's lame. Put it on the bottom of
and
Nikes.
Sneakers. They also said sneakers.
Okay.
Thank you.
And you could jump really high. And just the last thing for me was that a theater group that I'm affiliated with, the East West Players, is putting on Equus.
Oh,
yay,
God.
Great. But
oh, God.
The star is George Takei.
Oh, God. Oh, we're going.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. It's George Takei. Thank you very much, sir. What was that?
So they're taking a tired old play that we've seen 100,000 times,
yeah.
And then they're slapping Georgia.
Oldest
slapping
play
Georgia
ever.
Yes.
Actually, I got to tell you, this is an interesting formula. Yeah. You know, what else could we slap George Takei in?
Oh, he's been in a lot there.
We can
but
put him in everything.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, what would be like a great?
He's got
play?
The best voice ever. I mean, you can't fight that.
He's got a kick voice. Ass. Yeah, he's got a kick ass.
They voice. Put him in Lear a while back, and he was Lear because he was, I think. In helping with the project and paying for it, mm-hmm. and listening to George Takei go, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow comes. It was very odd. It's very odd.
We're going.
Don't call me shorty.
We're going. We're down there.
We have to watch Echoes.
Oh, bye.
Oh, no. All right.
All right. Well, let's do our feature of the day.
A topic of the week, Mr. Topic of the week. Matt.
Is... Geek families.
Families.
And the lovely things that make us crazy about them or have made us into geeks about them. That was almost
English.
So we're
exploring how geek families work and how they create new geeks is what you're saying?
Using ourselves as case studies.
Yes, using ourselves as case studies. Are your parents geeks? Have they effectively turned you into a geek? Are they completely not geeks, and therefore you had to become a geek?
Why don't you lead us off on this one?
By rebelling.
And also, yeah, they're different geek eras and the friction that you run into.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
That type of stuff, too.
Yeah. I mean, I was trying to think about it, and I was basically thinking that there are very specific geek sort of, waypoints that my parents put up that sort of turned me into a geek. They gave me...
So they had a plan?
I don't know if they had a plan, but they did certain things. They gave me 8 or 9 different books on different mythologies. So I always had Egyptian mythology, Greek mythology, Norse mythology. And, once you're reading about dragons, gods, and spirits that way, Chinese mythology, Taoist mythology, they loved giving me books on it. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the first things. My dad always told me stories and would invent weird, crazy, wacko stories and stuff like that I would always want to go up and follow up on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they always took me to the library and they would foist me off a lot of the times on this one area, the children's section.
Well, if they took you to the library, you're screwed.
Yeah,
you're going to be geeked no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad did that too.
Well, okay, hold on. Now, Aaron, you too? Were you a library section kid?
Yeah.
Okay, so 4 out of 4.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a common theme there.
Common theme.
I almost kind of seeked it out myself, though. It's not really... My parents didn't really... They kind of took me, but it was kind of...
Well, it's a geek childhood element for all four of us, then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, this whole conversation started when Matt and I were talking about some geek experiences.
Oh, yeah.
Geek experience.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
I was talking about how my dad came to me at one point, and, I'm a writer, and he sat me down and said, okay... This is what you've got to do. He said, who are those twins that are really
Mary-Kate
popular?
And Ashley.
Mary-Kate and Ashley. He said, they have these one-hour movies. He bought me a bunch of these one-hour movies, and he gave them to me. And he said, this is the type of stuff you need to write for. You'll make tons of money.
Well, he's true about tons of money.
And he's right. But he couldn't understand why I didn't want to write for that type of stuff.
Right.
Right.
And fought with me for like an hour. And still, to this day, that's really what you got to do. That's what you gotta do. You gotta go make these one. These are brilliant. That type of thing. And
right.
So I was telling Matt about this, and about my frustration. Okay.
Yep.
And then Matt told me
about my mom, who basically loads in these geek bombs on me all the time because she doesn't understand
what you do.
What I do. She never gets acting. She never gets any of the geek stuff that I do. And she always finds the worst possible comment to say to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first acting show I was ever in. Huge thing. Finally got the big role. Ended up in it. And granted, I was bad. I was really, really bad in this.
Mm-hmm.
My grandparents came to see it. They go, well, you were very committed.
Mm-hmm.
My dad sees it, immediately, you know, tells me what I need to do with it, right? My mom sees it and goes, what do you think about directing?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So it's these constant, you know, the thing that she doesn't realize that then sends me back in my room with a book and, you know, I'm going to be reading code.
Tell the audition story.
Well, oh, right.
But does that make you into a geek?
Well, no. This is about, we're working up to that. This is about, like, the friction that you run into as a geek doing geek things with your family. Like, Or the fact that your parents can't quite understand it from their geek perspective,
mm-hmm.
you know. But what? Did you buy that?
No.
All right. Well, pretend you did. All right. Tell the story. It's a great story anyway.
Well, which? With the audition?
The audition. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I basically keep stacks of auditions, which regulate year to year how I'm doing in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a visual cue that I can basically go, my stack of auditions was a quarter inch when I started here in Los Angeles, and now it's 5 inches. Great, cool. That's how many pieces of paper I got layered down there. Now, I showed this to my mom, and I'm like, Mom, great. Look, I'm going in Los Angeles. I'm doing the work. I'm growing. Isn't it fantastic? Look, started off as a quarter inch. Now I got a 5-inch stack of work. What do you think? And she basically says, she looks at it and she goes, why are you getting more auditions? Why don't you finish the auditions that you already have before going off and getting new ones? And suddenly it's like every single experience in my life where it's like, it's not about follow through, you know, which takes me back to the geek.
Yeah, but that sounds like a typical father who's yells at his son about sports. I mean, that doesn't...
Except
I don't
for
understand
in this case, it has to do with the geek elements that we're in.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, that's what I'm asking. Do you think it is just sort of traditional, or do you think whether or not they specifically did left tags or these things which shunted you off in the geek
world? I'll tell you how I...
Nature versus nurture, man.
I think that... Well, I think it's both. I think I was a quiet little nerdy kid popping out of the womb.
Really?
Period. That's just the way I was. My sister was the opposite. She popped out. She was yelling and screaming, and she was a loud mouth, and she still is. Now she's acting. You know, that's just the way, you know, it is. But my father is, he is a quiet person as well. He builds model ships, collects the stamps. Okay. He's an astronomer.
So he's the geek of his generation.
He's the geek of his generation. He's also kind of takes pride in not knowing pop culture.
Mm.
Who is this Britney Spears? Who is this Madonna? Well, he knows who Madonna is.
Right.
But he takes pride in not knowing pop culture. And, you know, a geek takes pride in not understanding what's cool because that's below him. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's a certain, like...
I know your flavor.
There's a certain pride of being ignorant of what everybody else knows.
Yes.
And he has...
That's
he embraces
them.
That. And I think I learned some of that from my father.
Okay.
He's awkward around people sometimes, and so am I. I think that...
Was it your mom at all either?
No. My mom's like... Kippy dippy cool, like, you know, she's the opposite of that.
So
actually,
anything that you have that is cool came from your mom.
Yeah, exactly. I just think that, but in reality, is I was born kind of a geek. I think I really was. I think that if my dad was a sports, crazy sports guy, and
you would end up being crazy sports guy.
No, I think that I would probably be the same quiet, shy guy that I was in school. It's just the way it was.
But don't you think he would have been shoving you towards sports then?
Yeah, and they did that a little bit. You know, I played baseball. I was forced because they thought I was a weird kid because I played by myself and all that.
Right.
Because I was a little geeky kid playing with action figures in my room all day.
See, I think I did it a little bit to myself because when I was 5 years old, my mom, being a Chinese immigrant, was like, you're going to do something that I didn't get to do when I was growing up. So she basically said, you get to do violin or gymnastics. And the rings hurt my shoulders. So I would hang from the rings and go, I don't like it. I want to do violin. And that was it. doomed. Doomed for the rest of the time. Geeky. To be, yeah.
But I really feel that, you know, that my probably my dad influenced my, like, you know, I used to build models because my dad would be, you know, building his ship, wooden ship models, and mm-hmm. I'd have, you know, the Space 1999 Eagle lander, you know, trying to put mm-hmm. that together. Or, you know, I got the $6 million man kit and I'm rebuilding his arm, you know, just because I wanted to do what my dad was doing, which was model building.
Yeah, you're doomed. That's geeky.
That's cool.
What about you, Don? Were you nature versus nurture? Did you come out a geek?
It's sort of a weird mix with me. In past shows, I talked about how I used to like have a couple comic books when I was a really young kid.
Right.
And my mom used to take them away from me, saying they were too old for me.
See, so that's resistance.
Right. So for that, and like, she wouldn't let me watch Electric Company because that was for older kids and stuff like that.
What?
Yeah, so like, those things became desirable to me because they were for someone else.
Out of reach.
Not for me. But then...
She still thinks Electric Company is over your head.
Yeah,
so.
She does. Yeah. It's kind of sad, really.
It's just the Spider-Man part of it, huh?
But on top of it, I mean, not to be the downer in the group. My mom had her first nervous breakdown when I was 2.
Wow.
And remained pretty much clinically insane until I was about 19 years old. So
wow.
I spent a lot of time taking care of my mom. And my dad was gone most of the week.
So then geek's a retreat, sort of.
Yeah, so did you just squirrel away and do geeky
things? It was a
things?
Full-scale retreat. If my mom was somewhat coherent, I would be in the back room playing a video game on my father's... you know, quote unquote portable computer, which was something like 50 pounds with a handle. you know, comic books, whatever I could get my hands on, just, you know, to kind of get away from the situation.
That's really interesting, too, because, like, my mom went away when I was 9 years old to medical school. So mm-hmm. my retreat, you know, when I was alone and stuff like that to deal with being a, you know, a lonely latchkey kid was to go back, read the comic books, play the video games, anything that dealt, as my dad used to say, anything with a screen. That's in front of it.
Yeah. Something, you know, something that brought you elsewhere, mm-hmm. you know? And, you know, also contributing to it, I grew up in the woods. So there were no kids my age anywhere in the general vicinity. So,
right.
You know, you do what you can do.
Didn't you go to, like, weird agricultural school, though, that was, like, doomed to make you a geek anyway?
Not really. I'd say my school was actually kind of anti-geek. They were not big on the sci-fi. They were not big on fantasy. They were very grounded. Grounded and sort of pseudo-Christian.
Right.
You just said they're not big on the sci-fi.
They're not big on the sci-fi. Like in
the sci-fi.
In ninth grade, I brought L. Ron Hubbard's Dianetics to school.
Ooh.
And I had no idea what it was. It was just a book I bought. And I was promptly told by 3 different teachers, no, you may not have that. Give that to me. I am confiscating that.
Which so you were heading down the Scientology path when you were a kid, huh?
I had no idea what the hell it was. And I was like, screw you, man. You know, you're not putting me down. Then I tried to read it and it bored me to death. So I finished the damn thing out of, like, resentment. But
right. What I want to know is that Don is the guy, whenever we're playing D&D or anything like that, that you're always like, you know, well, this is what a horse can do. You know, yeah, a horse would be able to pull that weight, you know, when you're trying to get your character to do something else. And Don always knows the animal husbandry or or how much farming you can do on a tithe of, you know, a certain plot of land,
he knows
in a feudal kingdom.
He knows what's in iron rations.
Right, exactly. He's like, and I wanted to know whether or not that came out of the geek schooling or the geek parents.
Probably, at least to some extent.
But I would say that that's non-geek information he's shoehorning into a geek hobby.
When I was born, I still have dyslexia. I think that's what kind of pushed me into being a geek.
Really?
A way. Yeah. Just because my parents found out really early, and they were able to kind of get me some help so it didn't affect me in terms of my schooling that much.
Right.
I just had incredibly bad handwriting, but I actually was able to read.
So were you like backwards S's total kind of thing?
Yeah, B's, D's, P's, Q's. Like, those were, like, impossible.
Wow, that's some severe dyslexia, then.
Well, it was actually, I think, not severe. I think it was actually mild, moderate, you know.
Really?
But what I did have that...
Whole red rum.
Yeah, severe. Exactly. Like, severe is actually changing word order.
Yeah.
Oh, like, okay.
Minor is just letter directional.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought severe was letter directional.
No. Severe, because basically the way it works is that your eye is like the lens of a camera.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you look at a negative, on film, it's upside down.
Right, and backwards.
Okay. Well, the process that your brain does is the very first thing it does is it turns it from upside down to right side up. The next thing it does is it turns it from mirror image to the correct way. So a very severe dyslexic would also see things upside down, which would be very confusing. That would be like the worst case.
Yikes.
But I don't know exactly where. But what it did do is it made it impossible for me to play sports that had hand-eye coordination in it. So I was actually on the baseball.
He's always running the wrong way.
You're forced to be the mascot.
Well, I was on the baseball team when I was a little kid, and when the ball would, they put me in the outfield because when the ball came towards me, I ran from it because I didn't know where it was. I just knew I saw the ball. It was coming towards me. I wasn't exactly sure where it was. So me trying to catch it, you know, would not be a good thing because it was probably going to hit me.
Now, did your parents lean you more towards that, going, or just go for the ball, or did they kind of go, no, it's all right, you're fine, no problem, go read a book?
I think they kind of at some point figured out that I wasn't going to do well with that. I mean, like, soccer I did better with because you're not going to get hurt as badly with soccer.
Right.
You just run in and kick at something, and, you know, you can do something.
So Dad was like, oh, great, he's going to be one of those book readers.
Fine.
I'll have another kid, maybe.
Now, my dad is the geek of the family.
Oh, okay.
You know, when my mom met my dad, she came downstairs for their very first date, and
he was in a Star Trek uniform, wasn't he?
No, it was not supposed to be. It wasn't really a date. It was like a work thing. And he wasn't in the kitchen where she left.
She thought it was work.
Yeah, well, exactly. So she came down. He wasn't in the kitchen. So she starts walking around looking for him. He's laying on his back with his head underneath the sink looking at the pipes. Okay. And
that's what the kids are calling it these days.
And she was and she's like, that's a keeper.
And he explains that he's looking at the pipes in her house. Now, what's hysterical about this is that my grandfather builds houses, but my dad, even to this day, has no idea, like, anything about pipes and stuff like that. That's not what he does. So I have no idea what he was doing.
There's some sort of secret story there that he will never share anyone. Like, he rested his arm on the table, slipped, hit his head, fell on the floor, got hit by the dog and slid under the sink or something, you know?
Right, yeah, or was just trying to act like he was cool or something and had no idea what he was doing. I have no idea.
So I have a question. You brought this up as a topic. So what, when you were young, then what in your family or what were some of the seeds that you knew that you were turning into a geek? What was the geek movie? What was the geek game? What was the geek book? What were some of the geek entry drug?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're growing up, you've got, you know, your parents are, you know, forming you, pushing you this way, that way, your genes are pushing you this way and that way. But when did you start, like...
Well, the two cartoons I watched every single morning before I started going to kindergarten were The Hobbit. Mm-hmm. The Rankin-Bass Hobbit.
Right.
And the animated Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Oh.
Right? That my father taped off HBO for me, and I wore holes in the videotape, so he had to re-record them. Right? And then, this is kind of weird, I was nagging my mother to read me a story, right, because I didn't know how to read yet. And I was carrying, I remember, Green Eggs and Ham, right? Mm-hmm. And she's vacuuming, and she's like, I don't have time. Go read it yourself. I'm like, I can't read. But screw you, I can read. I'm going to go read it. And I sat down, I opened the book, and I realized, oh, crap, I can read this. Okay. And I closed Green Eggs and Ham, never to pick it up again, went to the bookshelf and picked up C.S. Lewis, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and finished that in a day. And, I mean, that's
then you
that's
picked up The Hobbit.
Yeah, and then I picked up The Hobbit, you know? It was all the things that I'd seen on television in one shape or another that I wanted to read first. Mm. And then I started branching out to other stuff. Definitely those two.
Mine was my dad's brother, my uncle, who was like my complete geek entry drug. When everybody else was giving me these mythological books and everything like that, he went, here's Conan.
You know, nice.
Here's Twilight Zone magazine. Check it out. Here's, you know, here's a crazy sci-fi story. Because he was an editor. He was editing for Tor Books or Bantam Books at that point in time.
When I was really young, I think I always had geek tendencies, you know, like Super Friends.
Sounds so dirty.
Super Friends was one of the only cartoons I watched all the time. I mean, I just loved it.
Well, you have that picture of you watching Batman. That's
right.
One of the cutest pictures in the entire universe.
Batman, any type of superhero Batman. I mean, a lot of kids do that, but
right.
I was a huge $6 million man, you know, Bionic Man fan. Huge. I mean, I had the... I was in
even
the,
to this day, occasionally when you're running through the living room, you will slow down and do the...
Yeah, my parents still laugh at, you know, they'd look out the window and I'd be in the backyard pretending like I was running in slow motion. but, you know, and I had all, you know, I mean, I just... Wonder Woman, all that stuff. But not until... My dad, which was pretty late, I mean, I was probably 5 or 6, my dad took me down to this hobby shop and he bought me this game. It was called Asteroid, which I still have. It's right. My first war game. It's called Asteroid. And he sat down and played it with me. It's a great freaking game to this day. Matt and I played it once. Great game. Sick.
This
great
is
game.
Not Asteroids. It's Asteroid.
Asteroid.
And you have to play this.
And I'm going to write a script based off that.
It's a fun
kick ass game.
Cool. Now you know.
But that changed my life. After that, I really hit the geek wall hardcore. Dungeons and Dragons, all the board games, all that stuff.
What were you going to say, Pete?
Well, I was going to say it's interesting because we all read books.
Mm-hmm.
But we all had computers in our houses, right?
Not really.
Oh, not until later.
Because I was going to say, because I had computers growing up, and that was not a common thing back then.
I had a VIC 20, but I don't know if that's
I had a Commodore 64.
Computer.
I had a Commodore 64.
I had a
Trash
80. You rich
80.
Bitches.
Yeah.
You know what?
I had a Trash 80 from Radio Shack.
Uh-huh. Oh, the TR-80.
Yeah. And then eventually we upgraded to that portable computer I was telling you about. I loved that thing. It was like... 40 pounds my eye. It was like 80 pounds, had an industrial-sized handle on the front, and had a screen that was about 4 inches by 6 inches
right.
The front.
The little portable amber screen and then the keyboard, right?
Yep.
I remember the first time my uncle brought over his little Mac, his team that had tons of fonts.
Yeah.
I just played with fonts all day. Like, ooh, look, you can make the writing look any way you want. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just having a weird flashback. Okay. The first game
because
system.
Of the cookies that you guys ate the other day.
Whatever. there was a game system that we had. And I don't even remember what it was, but it had a game on it that I remember to this day because I hated it, called Hunt the Wumpus.
Hunt the Wumpus.
I played that.
You played that.
I don't remember the name.
I don't know what it. It wasn't Playco. But it was a weird game because the whole point of the game was there's a maze, and you're walking through the maze, and you're being chased by the Wumpus.
Damn that Wumpus.
But you can't see it. And you have one spear to throw to try to kill the Wumpus. And you can hear as the music gets, done. It's like Jaws type of music, as it gets closer. Okay. Well, what an annoying game. Come on. You got one spear to throw in a random direction, hope you hit something, and that's the game. I mean, really. Like, I was like... I mean, to this day, I'm scarred by this game. Can you see this? Look at me. I'm scarred.
I see.
The ones I hated were, for my Trash 80, I had these cassette games.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. And one of them was called Mummy, I think.
I think I remember that one, too.
Okay. And it was a text game played on the audio cassette, and it would be like, you found a tomb. Open door. You've opened the door. Go through door. You are inside the tomb.
No. You would go through door, and it would say, I do not understand.
Yes.
And it would say, go in the door. Yep. And it would say, you have found a tomb. It would be that type of thing. You have to type it 4 times.
I remember this game so clearly because I was defeated by the second door. I never actually got anywhere in the game. I got through the front door, into the first room, and then I couldn't find out how to open the damn door inside.
Oh, my God.
So you kind of went geek on books. Matt, you went geek on...
Everything.
On everything. Mine was kind of the board game, really. The board game.
I never had other people to play board games with.
Right.
I never got into the board games. Like,
well, we're both only children.
Oh, you haven't even... We're about ready to take you into the deep water.
The talisman?
Yeah. No, that's not deep water.
Oh, yo.
Talisman's
an entry drug, man.
We're going to go... I've got so many games that are great, and you're about ready to jump into the deep.
You haven't even experienced the basics yet. We have to get you in Settlers of Catan first, man. That's not right.
I never played... I mean, I played board games growing up, but I was never that into
it. It's also who you're playing with.
Other than Risk.
That's a huge point. I mean, obviously.
Risk I love.
Yeah, Risk
is so true. Whoever you're playing the board game with makes the board game fun.
Yes.
Risk is Risk is not the kiddie pool. Risk is like the 2.5 feet area.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Right. Well, because Risk can get risky. Intense.
You know, the problem with Risk is that you win the game when you set it up, and then it's just a total. Yeah. I don't know why we're off topic again.
Let's steer on back for a sec.
Anyway, you got me into board games. Now I'm into them.
Okay, you're gonna get.
Well, we want to play more board games with you.
All right. Let's go.
But I wanted to ask one last question on kind of the tail end of this one.
Right.
Okay. Now we've talked about geek origins. We've talked about geek entry drugs. Now that we are geeks. Have you ever had the coming out geek experience? Have you ever had to unveil yourself as a geek to someone in an awkward situation?
All the time.
Yeah.
Actually, really?
Well, now I'm good at it. Yeah.
I'm sort of a stealth geek in
real
life.
Now I'm effectively out of the closet. I'm a stealth geek too.
Yeah, but I'll bring a rule book that looks intriguing, like when I go to lunch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the waitress will always come like, what would you like? Oh, what's that? it's a rule book. It's a instructions for a game. A game that's that has that many rules? Is that like Dungeons and Dragons? Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, it's.
And then it's like, do you tell the truth or just lie? I mean,
it's a tech manual.
Well, hang on. That's another thing. We all played Dungeons and Dragons growing up, right?
Well, that actually brought up a question that I was interested in. What it seems with all of us, at least, is that there's this sort of theme of world creation. Of getting into the idea of creating your own world, your own universes, of escaping into your own worlds and universes.
Mm-hmm. That's been big in my life from very early until now.
I mean, for me, filmmaker,
for God's sake.
Right. But right. I mean, for me, that was huge, escaping into my own world and like that. And I wonder whether or not that's a geek theme as well.
Well, one thing I'm glad of, when I was a child, the world escapism was pretty much just for me to get away.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm very happy that I have people in my life where when I come up with world escapism, I'm bringing people with me.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm so grateful to have
you
people
wanna
like that.
You
want to
come into my world?
I know it's geeky, world. But I love that.
Come but that is a fascinating point that we all ran into other worlds. We created other worlds to sort of disappear into.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now all of our careers are about creating worlds, you know, as
to disappear into or to actually see, visualize.
Yeah. A whole new world.
You have me.
Fantastic.
It is the Geeks musical episode.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
Well, it's funny because I don't even know what that's from. For example, right now,
my roommate moved out this week, right? So I am hunting for a new roommate as we speak. And every single roommate that walks through that door eventually gets sat down and I'm like, okay, there's something you have to understand. I'm a geek. Look at my DVD collection. You will probably end up being watching all of these movies at some point. These video games here, you're probably going to get addicted to at least two
of
them.
So you have to give a geek warning to your potential roommate?
I give a geek disclaimer. I warn them there are two video game consoles underneath that television set. And World of Warcraft is installed in my bedroom.
Yeah. You know? It's like the cancer warning on the outside of a cigarette.
I think it's only fair.
It is. It's legal. You know, if they run screaming out the door, fine.
Well, what I love is that so far of the people I've met, maybe four of them give me this low hard stare and go, "What does that mean?" Right? And then the other ones go, "Like, do you like Babylon 5?"
Yeah.
You know, it's slightly hopeful.
Not season one.
Okay.
Oh.
Are we done?
Babel.
All right. Let's put
the kibosh
after
on
we save
Excellent.
Our progress.
We've got a bit this week. We're doing another Techno Babble Showdown. Don, you wrote the scenario this week, so why don't you give it to us and our audience?
I'll set it up. Your spaceship's faster-than-light drive is damaged. You're caught in the gravity well of a black hole, and a space hydra is hot on your tail. Your lasers and torpedoes are no match for the fierce beast, and your engines can only keep you out of the black hole for so long. What do you do?
What do you do?
Now, so our goal, you each came up with a way out of this situation.
Getting free of the singularity.
Using technobabble.
Using technobabble.
As inspired by the late Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek.
Yes.
Matt, do you want to start?
Sure, I will. Well, since we were spinning into the maw of the singularity, and due to the fact that the Space Hydra's synth screams have been affecting the crew's mental equilibrium for days, it was difficult enough to get somebody to cook a waffle in the morning, let alone negotiate a 35,000 metric ton freighter around the lip of something that could crush us to the size of a rice grain in the time it takes you to say, "Con!" But
we had to put all that aside and get down to brass tachyons. Now, the Space Hydra, commonly known in the scientific community as the Kazakh Baltiomori, or just the Kazakh Beast for short, it likes to hang around singularities in the same way that a dog in heat likes to hang around your leg. So we felt that we were about to be crushed no matter which way we fired our retro thrusters. So the crew, including myself, sadly, were all at our wit's end, unable to concentrate from the synth screams, right? So engineer Jumbo Jennings comes up with a genius plan. I totally wish I had thought of this. First of all, he scanned the Kazakh and discovered that it was a female in the throes of its yearly Baltiomori heat sump. All right? Right. Which is to say that Mama Kazakh wanted it bad. All right? She wanted it more than a three-toothed Talaxian whore with itchy fingers and a bottle of Vaseline.
Right.
So, he takes our docking web.
Sorry, Flash.
And subverting the bioisolentric modular generator and connecting it to our spacer gluon field.
Right.
He effectively makes the docking web, which, as you know, is a receiving gluon field, into a gluon field emitter.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Okay. Basically shooting a field of ionized gluons out the nose of our freighter, making us look like a giant unicorn horn if you were seeing it under a black light. All right?
Right.
Now, here comes the genius part. He takes the emitter and does some fast jury rigging with our replicator's matter transference coil and shunts the holy shebang right through the gluon field, basically solidifying our gluon field into a giant quarter-mile-long prong. All right?
Prong.
Yeah. Now, with some fancy flying and a hefty concentration considering the screams, our pilot headed us on a run right at the Kazakh. And you guessed it, right into Argunia. Yep. We fired the thrusters for some extra push and rode that little lady like a bronco all over the Typhon Nebula.
Can we say Gunia?
And when she was done thrashing, we just shut off our field, pull out, flew off to close the star to get the freighter detailed.
And fell asleep?
Yeah. The freighter still smells. I'm probably going to have to clean it another dozen times. But, hey, you know, we're alive.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I wouldn't have thought of that one.
I feel dirty. I don't think we can say Gunia on this show.
So is there anything going on with you and Kat that we need to know?
No.
Not going on? That we
know? All right. I'll go next. Well, as usual, whenever I seem to get in a real jam, my FTL drives seem to fail, and there's always some strange anomaly that knocks out the matter teleportation units.
Must be Tuesday.
Right. Yep. So there I was, trapped between a black hole and the Darnithian space hydra. Within a fraction of a second, our ship would be devoured by this moon-sized beast. Luckily, due to extreme time dilation caused by the black hole's approaching event horizon, on board the ship, we had about 13,000 years to come up with an escape plan.
Oh.
Sure, we could have fixed the FTL drives, but we had time. So after about 5,000 years of research and about 8,000 years of construction, we came up with a new form of spaceflight. The Trans-Spiritual Condemnation Drive. See, it runs off the seamless, inexhaustible supply of guilt religion seems to generate. And let me tell you, with a ship full of Catholics and Jews, we were sailing. The only problem is, when we returned home after 13,000 years, we found that Earth had destroyed themselves in a great religious war. If they could only have harnessed such great power, they could have traveled the universe.
Fantastic.
I failed my sad joke.
That's fantastic.
Trans-spiritual condemnation drive.
All about the trans-spiritual condemnation drive.
Oh, my God.
All right, Peter.
Next to last. All right. Our damaged hyperphasic coils were the problem. They could be repaired, but it required quad-spectrum photon regulators, and our farcical disruptor pads couldn't handle the neutrino loads to create the plasma fields that we needed to manufacture. Our engineer, Dulcik Na,
was one of the triphasic Magravel people. That is to say, he's a quantum creature existing in three different planes at once, with three different personalities, Doth, Sick, and Na.
Right.
He conferred with his other personalities, and their multidimensional concept of the universe helped us to come up with a plan. You see, in black holes, normal physics don't apply. It was a dangerous gambit, but we could create the proton regulators without shielding ourselves from the transient antimatter emissions.
Genius.
If we could position the ship so that the black hole would suck away the energy before it exploded the ship.
Right.
It was a desperate gambit, but better a quick explosion than a slow death being digested alive in the stomach of a space hydra. So we just we tried it, and amazingly, it worked. But by that time, the space hydra was registering on our long-range scanners. We needed time to complete the repairs, so we flew closer to the black hole, allowing ourselves to be sucked just inside the event horizon. For any eyes outside the hole, our ship simply disappeared into blackness. For us inside the hole, we had some seriously trippy hallucinations, as light operates differently when being sucked towards a large, dense mass.
Right.
We slingshotted around the black hole a while, using our momentum to keep us from being sucked in. After a while, we created enough momentum to throw ourselves free and limp back to Earth.
Slingshotting.
Interesting.
Slingshotting.
I need to get me one of those people on my crew.
Yeah.
Very useful.
They are very useful. Oh, my God.
Now that Lieutenant Johnson has been...
stuck on Aaron.
Yeah.
Well, Johnson's in my scenario.
Oh,
so,
good.
Yeah. All right, good.
We haven't abandoned Johnson
he
yet.
He switched ships.
Well, as you know, Johnson was always very good with these situations, but after that Viagra/blood battery incident, he hasn't been good for much of anything besides entertaining women with a taste for the anemic. So without him on the team, it was up to me. So, as you know, space hydras hunt in the areas around black holes. They live in the gravity well, ignoring its massive power like a clownfish ignores the deadly venom of the sea anemone it calls its home.
Right.
But we weren't so lucky. The light speed drives were down, our weapons couldn't affect the Hydra bearing down on us, and our engines were straining just to keep us in one place, fighting the inescapable pull of the black hole. There was only one thing to do.
One thing.
It was a million to one chance. But as we all know, million to one chances always work. First, as the Hydra bore down on us, I fired our polyionic grapples at it, grabbing it by two of its larger tentacles. I know.
Grapples.
I know. Polyionic grapples are very last year, but I needed the elasticity they had. Then I turned my ship about and flew into the black hole.
Wow.
Well, not quite. You see, while the Hydra wasn't affected by the black hole's gravity, we sure were. So the Hydra suddenly found itself dragging behind us like a fat man holding onto an angry bull that he can only see as a steak extra rare. The Hydra didn't want any of that, so it fought back and pulled, trying to drag us away from the black hole. Now, some of you may remember from a prior episode that my ship is a light cruiser, a ship with a hull made of solid light. When the Hydra started pulling back, I flipped my ship back around, increased the energy flow to my light hull, and rerouted gravity controls, this is important, through, not across, but through my transdimensional transducers, and out into the light hull.
Right.
This free quantumed the light of my hull, stratifying it and de-iotemporalizing it, basically making it into a many-layered hull with only the outer layer being affected by gravity. It was like I turned my hull into a gravity onion. Not only did this reduce my ship's weight and mass by about 85%, but made it a beautiful, shiny green color that I haven't been able to replicate that would look great in my kitchen.
Right.
The Hydra suddenly found itself pulling only a fraction of the force it was fighting before. Even as the black hole began to strip layer after layer after layer off my stratified, de-iotemporalized light hull, my polyionic grapples contracted, taking advantage of the force that the Hydra had been using to haul my formerly heavy, gravity-wrapped ship. These grapples launched us forward, past the Hydra, out of the gravity well, and fast enough to jumpstart our faster-than-light drives. Of course, by that time, our hull was about 3 microns thick, and people could see outer space through the floor. You know, 17 people had to be treated for space vertigo, and Johnson was given Viagra again. Bloody med bay. But aside from that, we escaped with no injuries.
Wow.
Genius.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
True.
Well, everybody, that was our version of Technobabble this week.
Technobabble!
I always think it's fun to do those.
I
can never think of like good techno battle. It always comes to the last minute.
It's like the most quintessential geeky thing bit we've got.
Yeah.
The geekiest of the geeky.
Well, this week we actually got some voicemail.
Voicemail.
And
no.
So we're going to play some voicemail for the first time ever. Hang on just a second.
All right.
Hi, guys. My name is Wayne. I love your podcast. You've actually inspired me to start my own podcast with my buddies. You can check it out at www.lockedintheattic.com. I think the only thing we're missing is our own Polynesian man. So if you can tell me where to find one, hetero, of course, let me know. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, so
I think he was worried that we were trying to hook him up.
Yeah.
I don't know what that – he asked for a hetero –
hetero Polynesian man.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's wrong, you know?
So these guys, LockedInTheAttic.com, have their own podcast.
Is
where
that
they,
what he said?
Locked
I thought
in
he
the,
said knocked in the ass.
I actually had to like
then
do a little bit of –
well, no wonder he's concerned.
I had to do a little bit of research to try to figure out what he was saying, so I did some searches. So it's Locked in the Attic, and they do – the movie commentary bit where right. him and his friends right. sit down, watch a movie like Elektra and comment on it.
Okay.
I haven't listened through it because I didn't have Elektra or anything, but
did
I might
try it
out. Did
you find a Polynesian for him or do we just give him Don?
Don?
I sell my services.
All right. Well, then there you go.
Either, you know, $40 an hour or 39 cents a pound.
Does that work? I don't want you to sell yourself short.
I'm economizing.
All right. Okay.
He's not short.
So anyway, anybody want to try this out, you can go to their website and get their podcast. You can go to iTunes.
Excellent.
We're coming up on a new voiceover.
Here it
right
comes.
Here it comes.
We're watching it.
It's almost there.
Here it comes.
This I is can't one. Take the suspense.
Two, one. Lift off.
Yeah, you guys rock. Geeks on all the way.
I think we just need to intersperse that with yeah. us recording all the time. And that anytime we're new, feeling down or blue, we just intersperse it.
That's our new voice clip. We're just going to use that occasionally for no apparent reason. I love it.
And we don't know who that's from.
Who was
no,
that?
We don't know who that's from, but we did get some voicemail. So next week, why don't we have
Should
a...
the number for voicemail?
What's that?
We need to leave the number again.
We need to leave... Oh, man, I can't remember the number.
Oh.
Okay,
which
Matt.
Is 323-319-5182. That's 323-319-5182. And if you want to...
Can we spell anything with that?
I don't know.
I'll check it out.
We gotta
but
check
we,
it out again.
But have people, we're going to have people call in because next week we're going to do a Dear Demon Lord. So if you want to ask a Demon Lord...
A question.
Call in.
Dating advice, how to do your taxes, basic home repair.
Role-playing ideas.
Absolutely.
Whatever you want.
Demonology.
Movie idea. Like
he's surprisingly versatile.
Yes.
What
yeah.
movies
he's
he
a
likes.
Demon lord.
Yeah, what movies, suggestions, reviews. Call in and ask the Demon Lord, and he will answer some questions next week.
Excellent.
Also, if you just want to comment, drop us a line. Actually, I was hanging out on my computer just working and writing, and I had Skype on. I was waiting for somebody to call. I was just going to answer.
Oh.
And no one called.
Oh.
So someone called like late at night and left a message. And so anyway, so who knows?
I might Aaron be all lonely at the computer. Shame on you, listeners.
Yep.
Shame.
Once again, the number is 323-319-5182. Give
That's
us a ring.
Right. Do we have anything else?
I got a geek link.
A geek link.
I found this site. It is, without the www, it's micro.magnet.fsu.edu.
And what is that?
These are extremely magnified pictures of things.
So, oh, like they used to do on Mr. Wizard.
I saw that.
Or it's, Ranger Rick.
It's fascinating. Right. They've even got like... pictures of chips and computers where designers of the chips have hidden designs inside the chips.
Oh, yeah.
Like pictures of buffalo and just weird stuff, whatever they felt like putting on just as hidden code for other people. So,
it's hidden like they use the burned etching of the wires on the chips. They just make like
why
images
not?
Out of
cool.
them.
I want it to look like a buffalo. Who cares? It still works.
Yeah. And then you get to see, like, you know, what a medicine might look like. It's interesting. They're beautiful photographs.
And we'll have the link on our website.
Excellent.
We will. Which is www.geeksonline.com.
Excellent. Do and we have any mail or anything this week?
I didn't have any mail this week. But, again, you can email us at geeks@geeksonline.com. Or you can go to the website at geeksonline.com and click on the
forums.
Forums and talk. We've got it's still kicking.
Yeah. By the way, thanks to all of you for all the excellent, kind emails you've been sending us and the great forum entries. I mean,
yeah.
Great stuff, folks. We really appreciate it. We will try and respond to all the emails we get. It's just, you know, we're busy. So sorry if we don't get to it soon.
I got a
in
couple,
a timely manner.
I got a couple of emails about the store.
Forward them. But you can also email us individually. If you go to the website, you can find our individual emails, which are our names at geekson.com. So there's plenty of ways of getting a hold of us. I don't know. We may jump on WoW again. Maybe we'll post on the forums when we'll jump on and anyone
My priest hit level 60 on Garibashi. I'm very embarrassed by that.
Which one? The new one?
The new one.
Man, I just thought.
How did you level so quick?
It's not that hard if you know what you're doing.
Wow.
And if you're a priest, everybody wants to bring you along.
Right.
So. Mm.
Well, there's plenty of ways to interact with us. So write, call, interact.
Yeah, because I'm the ugly love child in mine. Nobody wants to be with the hunters.
All right.
Are you on
Garibashi? Yeah.
Why are you not contacting me?
Oh, sorry.
You don't write? You don't call? I could send you bags.
Okay.
All right. While these guys work out their little love spat, I hope you guys have a great geek week coming up.
Sounds good.
And I'll talk to y'all later.
Be well.
Bye.
Great geek week.
Rock it out.